ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतेरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। रीडिङ्ग् फ्रोम् श्रीमद्भागवतम् फस्ट् केण्टो चाप्टर् फोर् टेक्स्ट् नम्बर् 17, करेक्ट्? 17 अण्ड् 18, या भौतिकानां च भावानां शक्तिह्रासं च तत्कृतम् अश्रद्धधानान्निसत्त्वम् अश्रद्धधानान्निसत्त्वान् दुर्मेधान् हसितायुषः दुर्भगांश्च जनान् वीक्ष्य मुनिर्दिव्येन चक्षुषा सर्ववर्णाश्रमाणां यत् दध्यौहितम् अमोघदृक् भौतिकानां च भावानां शक्तिह्रासं च तत्कृतम् अश्रद्धधानान्निसत्त्वान् दुर्मेधान् हसितायुषः दुर्भगांश्च जनान् वीक्ष्य मुनिर्दिव्येन चक्षुषा सर्ववर्णाश्रमाणां यद् दध्यौहितममोद्घदृक्। दुर्भगांश्च जनान् वीक्ष्य मुनिर्दिव्येन चक्षुषा तत्कृतम् अश्रद्धधानान्य सत्वान् जनान् वीक्ष्य माताजी भौतिकानां च भावानां शक्तिग्रासं च तत्कृतम् अश्रद्धानि सत्त्वान् दुर्मेधां कथितानि భౌతికానాంచ ఆల్సో ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ దట్ ఈస్ మేడ్ ఆఫ్ మ్యాటర్ భావానాం యాక్షన్స్ శక్తి హ్రాసం చ అండ్ డిటోరియరేషన్ ఆఫ్ న్యాచురల్ పవర్ తత్కృతం రెండర్డ్ బై దాట్ అశ్రద్ధానాన్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫెయిత్లెస్ నిస్సత్వాన్ ఇంపేషెంట్ డ్యూ టు వాంట్ ఆఫ్ ద మోడ్ ఆఫ్ గుడ్నెస్ దుర్మేధాన్ డల్విటెడ్ హ్రసిత రెడ్యూస్డ్ ఆయుష ఆఫ్ డ్యూరేషన్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్ దుర్భగాన్ చ ఆల్సో ద అన్లకీ జనాన్ పీపుల్ ఇన్ జనరల్ వీక్ష్య బై సీయింగ్ మునిహి ద ముని దివ్యేన బై ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ చక్షుషా విజన్ సర్వ ఆల్ వర్ణ ఆశ్రమాణ ఆల్ ద స్టేటసెస్ అండ్ ఆర్డర్స్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్ యట్ వాట్ దధ్యౌ కంటెంప్లేటెడ్ హితం వెల్ఫేర్ అమోఘదృక్ వన్ హూ ఇస్ ఫుల్లీ ఎక్విప్డ్ ఇన్ నాలెడ్జ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ప్రభు బై డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శైల ప్రభుపాదికి ద గ్రేట్ సేజ్ హూ వాస్ ఫుల్లీ ఎక్విప్డ్ ఇన్ నాలెడ్జ్ కుడ్ సీ త్రూ హిస్ ట్రాన్స్లేటల్ విజన్ ద డిటోరియరేషన్ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ మెటీరియల్ డ్యూ టు ద ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద ఏజ్ హీ కుడ్ ఆల్సో సీ దట్ ద ఫెయిత్లెస్ పీపుల్ ఇన్ జనరల్ వుడ్ బి రిడ్యూస్డ్ in duration of life and would be impatient due to lack of goodness. Thus he contemplated for the welfare of men in all statuses and orders of life. Purport. The unmanifested forces of time are so powerful that they reduce all matter to oblivion in due course. In Kali Yuga, the last millennium of around of 4 millenniums, the power of all material objects deteriorates by the influence of time. In this age, the duration of the material body of the people in general is much reduced, and so is the memory. The action of the matter has also not so much incentive. The land does not produce food grains in the same proportions as it did in other ages. The cow does not give as much milk as it used to give formerly. The production of vegetables and fruits is less than before. As such, all living beings, both men and animals, do not have sumptuous, nourishing food. Due to want of so many necessities of life, naturally the duration of life is reduced. The memory is short, intelligence is meager, mutual dealings are full of hypocrisy. And so on. The great sage Vyasadev could see this by his transcendental vision. As an astrologer can see the future fate of a man, or an astronomer can foretell the solar and lunar eclipses, those liberated souls who can see through the scriptures can foretell the future of all mankind. They can see this due to their sharp vision of spiritual attainment. And all such transcendentalists who are naturally devotees of the Lord are always eager to render welfare service to the people in general. They are the real friends of the people in general, not the so-called public leaders who are unable to see what's going to happen 5 minutes ahead. In this age, the people in general, as well as their so-called leaders, are all unlucky fellows, fatalists in spiritual knowledge and influenced by the age of Kali. They are always disturbed by various diseases. For example, in the present age, there are so many TB patients and TB hospitals. But formerly this was not so, because the time was not so unfavorable. The unfortunate men of this age are always reluctant to give a reception to the transcendentalists, who are representatives of Srila Vyasadeva and selfless workers, always busy in planning something which may help everyone in all statuses and orders of life. The greatest philanthropists are those transcendentalists who represent the mission of Vyas, Narada, Madhva, Chaitanya, Rupa and Saraswati, etc. That etc. includes Prabhupada. They are all one and the same. The personalities may be different, but the aim of the mission is one and the same, namely to deliver the fallen souls back home, back to Godhead. Om Ajnana Tamirandasya Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Yesterday we were hearing from Rupa Goswami Prabhu on the symptoms of Kali Yuga. And this verse also continues some more symptoms of Kali Yuga that are explained here. Kali Yuga being the last age in the four ages contains living entities who could not be reformed in the previous ages. So they have been in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga and Kali Yuga. Satya Yuga is called as the Golden Age and Treta Yuga is Silver Age and Dwapara Yuga is Bronze and Kali Yuga is Iron Age. So those who became purified in the past, they all went back to Godhead. Those who have failed, like sometimes you find in, you know, 10th standard or 8th standard, a person failing repeatedly, isn't it? The backbencher. So he is very tall, very well grown up, and all other boys are very tender and young. But this fellow is sitting behind. Growing in size but not passing. So Kali Yuga is such an age where the living entities have slipped again and again, repeatedly in the previous ages, and they have come in the age of Kali Yuga. So you can imagine how deadly the situation will be. That is why the great sage Vedavyasa has predicted in advance all these things that are going to happen in the age of Kali Yuga, well in advance. And we can see many of those symptoms practically in front of our eyes. Here specifically he is talking about how the duration of life reduces, how the strength reduces. The famous verse, Prayena Alpa Ayusha Sabhya Kalavasmin Yuge Janaha Manda Sumanda Matiyo Manda Bhagya Hyupadrata. So Prabhupada used to quote this several times in his lectures. He used to say how the people in the age of Kali Yuga have Alpa Ayush. They have very little duration of life. Nowadays if somebody crosses 100 years, they are given a prize, are given an award. Even some decades ago, crossing 100 was not a very big deal. Even Jagannathas Babaji lived almost 125 years. If you see like that, it was very common to see some old person living 115 or 120 years. Now do you see 120 years anywhere? Then your name goes to Guinness Book for crossing 100 years. Because the duration of life is reducing. Although scientists claim that they have increased the life duration by attending to some of the diseases and then prolonging the life. Scientifically it can be shown that the overall age of the people in which people die is reducing. We can show that. So the life duration is short and it will gradually become shorter and shorter to such a time when people will live hardly for 20-25 years old. And they would be considered as old men when they are 25 years old. That is said in Bhagavatam at the end of Kali Yuga. And also here it is explained, even the nature does not cooperate. Here he says the duration of the metal body is reduced. Yeah. See, the land does not produce food grains in the same proportion as it did in earlier ages. Cow does not give as much milk. The production of vegetables and fruits is less than before. As such, all living beings, both men and women, do not have sumptuous nourishing food. Why is it? Why God seems to be so cruel to the Kali Yuga Vasis? What is so bad about them? Just like sometimes a father gives some money to the child. What do you call that money? Pocket money. Say 2 rupees he gives. And then if the boy uses that money very well, then he may give him 3 rupees. Then he may give him 5 rupees per day, 10 rupees per day. Because he's using it well, father becomes convinced that yes, this fellow is using nicely. Someday he may even start giving him 100 or 200 rupees. When he goes to college, he may give him thousands of rupees or lakhs of rupees without any fear. Someday he may hand over the whole key bunch to him, that you can take it all and you use it. He's very confident. Whereas if a boy is misusing that 2 rupees, then father may become suspicious. Next time he may give him only 1 rupee. And if he is continuing to misuse, what he will do? Then 50 paisa, then 10 paisa, and then he will say, okay, chup baitho, just sit here, don't go anywhere. I want to watch you at every moment. He will not give him anything. It's very obvious. Any father would do that. Same way, the living entities in Kali Yuga are very mischievous and misappropriating the resources of nature, nature which come from Krishna. So naturally, all these things are reduced. The facilities are reduced over a period of time. You can see that. By their own activity, they are putting themselves in such suffering. As Prabhupada says, that even the nature doesn't cooperate. In the recent turn of events like the tsunami or the New Orleans hurricane or the earthquakes that came in Gujarat. So all these things has made the modern man feel very threatened by the nature. Modern man is trying to find out ways and means to overcome the forces of nature. They are trying to raise a very high wall, just like in Aravada jail. They want to make a very big wall so that another tsunami will not come and attack wherever they had such floods from the ocean. But probably next time, if the altitude is higher than this, what are they going to do? Can always come and attack. And there are no practical scientific methods to escape from the natural calamities, like the earthquake. Like in Japan, they had this flexible foundation of buildings to avoid the effect of earthquakes. But then earthquakes came, they went beyond the limit of what flexibility man had kept. Because you cannot keep it totally flexible. If you keep it totally flexible, the building cannot have any stability. So they keep some flexibility. But what if not a question of what if, it has happened in Japan. The earthquakes went beyond the limit of the flexibility. Then all the tall buildings, they became flat on the ground. And the flat roads became vertical. Yeah. So you can see the power of natural calamities. So man has no strength to stand against them. So in this way, even nature doesn't cooperate. The land doesn't produce grains. The land becomes barren. Everywhere there is a talk of scarcity of food. Already there is problem from nature. Nature is not giving in Kali Yuga. And man has made the situation go from bad to worse. Like in many of the places where there are cultivable lands, man is taking them and cultivating tobacco. More than half of the lands in many places are cultivating tobacco for making cigarettes. So that makes the situation even worse. Then the production of grains becomes even more less. Like that. And even the strength of people, like we had once gone to this Mysore museum, Mysore Ka Raja, we went to the museum. So we saw there was a huge sword kept there. So we were trying to lift the sword to see how the kings must have fought. You can't even move it. Yeah, it's really so heavy. Yeah, of course with great difficulty two of us lifted it and then you drop it down. It's so heavy. But then, special. Isn't it? But then you take it in the hand, how they would have fought with that? Huh? You will get sprained if you fight with that. So you can see our strength is diminishing in Kali Yuga. They must have used it, they say, in 1925 they were using it. Even in up to 1925 they were using such kind of weapons. They had. Yeah. Today you can see we have no power to lift those weapons even. So we can see even few decades ago, whatever was there, now is diminishing, we can see that. For example, children are wearing spectacles. Nowadays 4-year-old children are wearing spectacles. You can see that. 4-year, 5-year-old children. Now children are having depression, you know that? Yeah. What responsibilities they have taken in their life, we don't know. Such a young age, they feel depression, right from birth. There are so many types of syndromes and psychological disorders that modern children are facing in the modern times. These are all a curse of Kali Yuga. You can see that. There is inferiority complex, there is lack of confidence, there is depression, martyrdom. Or there is envious mentality, jealousy. These are all abounding. But that famous verse, it says, Nangshati Ayuh Balam Smriti. What is that verse? Kalena Balina Rajan Nangshati Ayuh Balam Smriti. Tatascha Anudinam Dharma. The four qualities of Satyam, Shaucham, Dayakshama. What is that? Kalena Balina Rajan Nangshati Ayuh Balam Smriti. Nangshati means purpose is 8 things diminish in Kali Yuga. So that includes this Ayu, Balam, Smriti, memory. People have to note down even a small phone number. If somebody tells on phone, they cannot remember. If you don't note down, you forget it. You have to ask for the second time. But you are hearing about Shukadeva Goswami. He was a Shrutidhar. 18,000 verses he heard from his father only once. And he repeated all of it again. So we can see how our memory is very short. You know, when we were young school children, we used to use these logarithmic tables, you know, for solving logarithmic problems. And of course, you get gradually used to it. You can also use log tables and you can do calculations pretty fast. But now the calculator has come. Even for 2-digit numbers to multiply, people use calculator now. And some people have forgotten how to do multiplication, division, people don't know. You ask, I'm not exaggerating, take an average college boy and ask him to find out square root without a calculator. He will be in trouble. How many of you know making a square root without calculator? You're confident. Only Kapil scientists have. You are really sure? I'll give a test then. Isn't it? Because people use calculator, you can see that. This is Kali Yuga. So, the memory is short. And the word manda is used for what? People are dull for spiritual life. You go to distribute books, they say you're not interested. Spiritual life is not an option, or it's not a choice of having interest or no interest. Spiritual life is actually the real life. Other than spiritual life, the life has no meaning. It's illusion, this world. But you can see that people say, I'm not interested. In the Vedic life, you will see the Shastras are also the law codes for the country. Whatever the Shastras, the same Shastras act as the law codes for the people in general, those who follow Varnashrama. There is no difference between the two. So naturally, if somebody says, if you ask someone, why don't you follow the traffic rules, you have to keep the car on the left, he says, no, I'm not interested. If he says, I would like to go on the right, what do you think will happen? He'll be immediately punished by the police. Or if the red signal is put on, and a man says, I'm not interested in following all these laws, and he just proceeds, naturally he'll be caught by the police. So it's as simple as that. That the law codes of the state were exactly as law codes given in the scriptures. And people, modern man says, I'm not interested. Very cool. So, modern man, because of his degradation, considers something to be of value or arthadam or purposeful, which has absolutely no value. For example, Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, one of the places, what is the meaning of civilized, being civilized? In India, if you see civilized man, of course it keeps changing, people's outlook to life keeps changing. But in general, civilized means if you speak in English, if you wear a coat, suit, tie, or if you dress in Western style, when you are considered to be a very civilized man. Yeah, isn't it? One is considered civilized. But according to Shastra, even when one is wearing all these things, Western type of dress and nicely talking in English, but they don't have any social status and religious status, Varnashrama. Varnashrama means they should be situated in ashram, brahmachari, grihast, vanaprast, sannyas, in one of these four. Being situated in this ashram means following the rules and regulations of this particular order. Grihastha should follow their dharma, brahmachari should follow their dharma, sannyas should follow their dharma. And besides that, they also should be situated in a particular type of work, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. Without this, one is not considered civilized at all. Such a person who is not into this, one of these 4 plus 4, is called as a dvipada pashu, or a two-legged animal. So, somebody may be dressed very smartly and talking wonderful English, but they are considered as actually two-legged animal according to Shastra. Because they don't have actual culture. How they are considered two-legged animal can be very easily proved. For example, such a so-called civilized modern man, what is his goal of life? He has no goal in life. He doesn't know where is he going. He will say two things, money and sex, nothing more. Work hard, 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 struggle, and earn a lot of money and enjoy life. That's all. So which is also the same goal of animal's life. Animal wants to accumulate facilities. An animal wants to enjoy life, that's all. It doesn't know anything. At the same time, while not having the goal, even while living also, see the lifestyle of modern man. What is the basis of your marriage? The basis of marriage is superficial attraction. Dampatye abhiruchir hetu. A man thinks, if a woman is very attractive looking, beautiful enough for me to enjoy her, then it is enough for me. And woman thinks, is a man handsome or is he having enough money in his pocket? If you ask any woman on an average in Kali Yuga, so whom do you want to marry? She will say software engineer. Because software engineers, they earn 30,000, 40,000 rupees. And if you ask man also wants to marry someone who looks very attractive externally. But nobody sees the qualities. Somebody may be very beautiful externally, but what are the qualities? He doesn't see. Superficially, they see each other's body and get attracted to each other's superficial talks, trying to impress the society. So, impressive talks and impressive laughs and impressive material qualifications, that is enough to get attracted to one another and marry. And such marriages end in divorce very soon because both the parties came together because of superficial attraction. And once that attraction is finished, then when you become older, then one doesn't want to live together. Then one chases after new partners. This is coming to India also, what's there in the West. But Vedic life, you will see people, even after becoming 80 or 90 years old, they will never give up their wife. Even if there is some misunderstanding or quarrel, or even if the, if the leg is broken or hand is broken or the, face becomes like a, with full of wrinkles and ugly looking, still a man will never give up his wife. He will never say that, I married you to enjoy you, now I have enjoyed you enough, now you go away. It's animal, it's a dog's culture. It is simply dogged civilization. Because wife is not married only for enjoyment. One takes a wife in one's life to perform dharma according to Veda. Wife is actually a spiritual partner in life for one who goes to grihastha ashram. One is situated in ashram. So we can easily see modern man. In America, on an average, any common man has 3 to 4 partners, which is not much different from the dogs. Dogs also have many partners. You can see that. Simply enjoying. There is no system of marriage. There is no system of accountability to anyone. Actually, marriage is based on faith. A husband and wife come together in a social marriage and they live together. Wife agrees to bear the child, hoping that husband will protect her. But then a man impregnates a woman and then he goes to another woman. So it's just like monkeys or dog culture. That's why Shastra says it's a dvipada pashu. And you can also see the man eating any kind of filth. Brahmanas from India, from IITs and IIMs and NITs, they are going to America to study. And there they go to McDonald's to eat. And in McDonald's, they give animal meat naturally, meat, mutton, everything, bread and all that. But in the top they surface it with beef. You know, RSS in America, they raised a great hue and cry. What was the hue and cry? You can supply meat, but not, you know, in the top of it you should not put any beef, like creaming with beef. You should not do that. That was the... So when I heard that, it was funny. Of course, beef is cow flesh, which should never be, because they are Hindus. They are saying, we are Hindus, we don't want to kill the mother cow. But they say that our Indian Brahmanas can eat meat. That's not a problem for us. That means they can eat. You go to America, even to your Brahmana's house, you'll find there are many Gujaratis. If there are any Gujaratis here, please don't take any offense. But there are many Gujaratis and Marwadis and all going from India to America, settling there. They take this pizza and other things, all on the top of which you will find small pieces of meat. They put, just like we put carrot or cabbage, they put meat pieces like that and eat like that. This culture has come. Just as animal eats any garbage, nowadays practically people eat, educated people eat all kinds of things. There are hotels in Japan and China where very highly educated people come. They put a monkey, they have a table, opening table. The table opens, they put the monkey inside, and the table closes up to the neck like this. There is a hole here, exactly the neck of the monkey fits there. Table opens and it closes. And on the spot they break the skull of the monkey and directly put a straw. They take like some strawberry juice. they drink brain of the monkey like that. Yeah, these are educated people. So you may ask, where is their brain? They don't have any brain, drinking the brain of monkey. These are things you can see on TV. They show it. Yeah. So modern man claims to be civilized and educated. Is a civilization where you kill such a living innocent creature and you drink its brain from the head? And you can see that this kind of things are coming up everywhere. That's why Shastras calls his people as Dvipada Pashu. If one doesn't have a spiritual culture, he will behave like an animal. Just like an animal kills another animal and eats, that way man will also do that. You will see that. Similarly, practically every second, almost one child is aborted in the world. At least at every second, there is one child per second. So you can see that how at every second there is abortion going on, somewhere or the other. Millions of... Why abortion? Because man and woman unite with no proper religious principles, not based on marriage, not based on any system. And then child becomes like a inconvenience, a tissue that unnecessarily interferes with their future sense gratification. So you terminate the tissue, calling it as tissue termination. So these are things we can see happening in front of our eyes. These are unknown in the Vedic times like this, practically unknown. One is allowed to marry more than one wife. Sometimes in the Vedic times many men would go for attaining moksha. So because of it, the men were less and women were more. So one man was allowed to marry more than one wife, that like Dasharatha having three wives, you see. But you see, they considered the wives considered the husband to be the shelter. And they gave shelter till the last point of their life. Not like wandering with partners with no marriage, and no system of marriage or anything like that. So when man breaks the principles of dharma, you can see how much the nature also does not cooperate. So nowadays you can see even the food that we eat has hardly any vitamin. Actually the venomous mentality, the vicious mentality of the Kali Yuga jivas can be easily seen, that although nature itself is producing less and giving problems, man makes the problem more worse. For example, the fruits that we eat, like our doctors generally say that, you know, you should eat salad or you should eat the fruits along with the skin. It's very good for you because vitamin is there in the skin. But when I went to one of the villages, they told me, you know, you should not eat with the skin. Why? Because even the farmers and all have become very greedy nowadays to make a big sales of the fruits and make a lot of money. So whether it be banana they ripen it with smoke. Earlier they used to ripen it with smoke, natural smoke and all. But nowadays there are chemicals, they put some chemicals in water and they put all the chikku, apple, everything, and within 5 minutes the chemicals burn the fruit and they make it look ripe and then it's taken out. Now if you're eating along with the skin, the chemicals will go into your body and can cause very great harm to your system. So one devotee was telling me that when you eat the fruits, you should put it in water for 5 minutes, thoroughly rinse the skin with a brush or something, you know, and then only you should eat the cover of the fruits. Otherwise you should remove the skin. It's very dangerous. And this can be, if you see this grapes are simply water only nowadays. There is no taste. The taste that you get is because of phosphate bath, they put some saccharine coating outside which looks whitish. You can see in the grapes. So what are you tasting? Are you tasting the taste of the fruit? No, you are tasting the saccharine plus some water inside. That's all. So the eatables and food, they have become like this, because of which, what is the end result? Then you have to separately eat some calcium tablets to get some strength for the bones. Yeah, because we eat things like that, so our bones are very, not very strong and supple. They are very, very weak. So you can see people, young people getting fracture, or Vinayak Babu got a fracture, isn't it? Calcium deficiency, yeah. So why calcium deficiency? Because that is the kind of food that we eat. Kali Yuga, we can see. So even the grains are not supposed to be polished. If you see, if you remove the skin, the grain will have some kind of dull cover. That is very vital for our vitamin of the body. But nowadays they have machines. They polish that, and then the rice looks very whitish, and people think this rice is wonderful. Eat like that, you can see. And all the other cereals are also like that. See, all the things that look very attractive for the eyes are not so good for the body. And that's how modern man supplies all the items, you can see that. So whether it be food grains or fruits or, Prabhupada is mentioning many things. Cow does not give as much milk as it used to give formerly. So naturally modern man sends the cows to the slaughterhouses, cows and the bulls. And he has replaced the bulls with tractors. So he sends, in the villages where the atmosphere used to be very pure, he sends all the bulls to the slaughterhouse and bring the tractors, and the tractors produce smoke so that it can be served with pollution, even in a village, when you want to go to a village. The production of vegetables and fruits is less than before. As such, all living beings, both men and animals, do not have sumptuous nourishing food. Due to want of so many necessities of life, naturally the duration of life is reduced. The memory is short. Intelligence is meager. So Mandha means having no spiritual goal in life. That's the meaning of Mandha. No, absolutely no aim. Although one is walking as a human being, one is simply proud of material intelligence. Like he says, intelligence is meager. What is that this intelligence? Although modern man is so proud of his advancement in science and technology, even on a material platform, man is not intelligent. We can very confidently say that. Because the Vedas not only teach us spiritual intelligence, they also teach us how to be materially intelligent also. According to Vedas, what should a man do? A man should not spend his whole life in converting a small thatched cottage into a big skyscraper building. Man should not do that. Why? Because in the name of economic development, if you waste your entire life, then you will not have any time for God. And you will not have any time for your own happiness also. First of all, if you take life in totality, one needs time for God, one needs time for wife and children, one needs time for relatives, mother and father, relatives and friends, and one needs time for one's own, taking care of, like for example, physical, mental, social and spiritual. There are four aspects of our life. So physical, for the physical, naturally you need the regular exercise for the body, and you need adequate rest, you need nutritious diet, isn't it? You need all these things. You also should not put anything into the system which is harmful to the system. But if you see modern man, he is doing everything against all this. You will see. He has no exercises, he simply is sitting in one sofa and watching TV like a couch potato. Yeah. Simply, size is growing bigger and bigger, plumpy, plumpy. And people walk like this. And then he has to go for some quick weight loss program. Because now the weight has become too much and he looks ugly. So he has to go for some quick weight loss program. This is modern man. No exercise, no adequate rest. You can see there are call centers where three shifts they are working. And your biological clock goes crazy. It doesn't, your body is asking, hey, when do you want to sleep? One day you are sleeping in the night, one day in the daytime, one day in the afternoon. What is your life? My biological clock goes crazy because it has a... See, biological clock is inbuilt in your body. You don't need any alarm clock at all. You sleep at 9 o'clock, morning 3 o'clock, you'll get up if you do it every day. If you don't change the timing. You can see that 9 o'clock, you close your eyes and the eye of your mind, you see 3 o'clock. You all try that. Anybody want to try that? Of course, you tell another devotee also. In case you don't get up, you'll get there. Everyone tries that and they don't come for Mangala Arati in the morning. Prabhuji, you only told biological clock is enough. Don't blame me later. But it's reality. Before going to bed, you see in the eye of your mind 3 o'clock and then you sleep morning 3 o'clock, you'll be up. You'll see that. But this kind of call centers have ruined our schedules and ruined the health also. You can see that. No adequate rest. And no nutritious food, fast food. Gulp down fast food, standing on a table. People eat fast food and they rush. Actually, food is never to be taken like that. Ideally, the method of taking food is the way we take in the afternoon. Lunch prasadam. Hot. The prasadam should be served hot. It should be served pure. It should be simple and sattvic. And served by devotees with great love. And honored with great love, chanting the names of Radha and Krishna. This is the way prasadam should be taken. And it will really sink into the body and it will give you real nutrition. And it is all designed for proper nutrition, how it should be taken. Not just gulp down some maida bread or something. And go to the company and you don't have digestion, then take some expectorant or some tablet to throw out what is there in the system. Horrible. So I am just telling one example of physical, see in the modern time. Even materially modern man is not intelligent. Like, you know, Ayurveda says, early morning one should drink water when one gets up. Noon time one should take chach, buttermilk. Night one should take hot milk. If you take this regularly, you will never get sick, according to Ayurveda. It's very simple. So in our Vedas, even there are practical tips for healthy living, and modern man is not following them. You can see that. That's why we can say even materially he is a fool. Modern man's life, you can see as he proceeds. As Kali Yuga proceeds, these things, nice things from the Vedas will become gradually unknown to modern man. He will go far more and more farther. So we can talk about each one of this. We can talk about physical, mental, social, and spiritual. How he is degrading himself. So that is why his manda, sumanda matayo, manda bhagya. He is very unlucky, modern man. Prabhupada says, even if little bit somebody is interested in spirituality, he wants no God, there will be some Baba, Moni Baba or some Baba will come. And that Baba will come and ruin his life. Like, you know this Apple computers, you know? You all know this app. Anybody knows who is the main person in that Apple? Number one man. Who found Apple? Steve Jobs, yeah, correct. Steve Jobs. So the Steve Jobs, you know, he was a spiritualist. He came to India, he came to Varanasi. Unfortunately, that time our base was not started there. So he came to Varanasi in search of truth. Actually, he was very talented, highly qualified. So he came there to Varanasi. He heard that, you know, Varanasi is a holy place. So he wanted to get the knowledge of the absolute truth. So he went to some Baba and the Baba took him to the top of a hill, you know. And the kind of system that the Baba taught him was so boring. It was like something like Vipassana meditation kind of thing, where all day you fast and night you get a carrot. Yeah. And you should not speak a word, you should not chant any mantra, you should not read any book, you should not talk to anybody, you should just keep mum, silent. So he wanted to know what is that nirvana, what is that liberation, he wanted to know desperately. And because he could not get something tangible, he came down and went to US and then he started the Apple company after that. So it came in one of the magazines. So Then they say most of the spiritualists who are educated, so that article says either they will become owners of multinational companies or they will become sadhus. So that article concludes, because no intelligent, educated, wise man will leave all the pleasures of the world to go for something unless it gives him something higher. Certainly must be getting something very high. Otherwise, why so many educated people, after so much of education and knowledge, why should they give up and go for spirituality? Because spirituality offers a well-rounded package of healthy body, mind, soul, everything. It gives us knowledge about the body, about the mind, about the soul, and about the ultimate liberation from this entanglement. Everything is given. So, the Prabhupada used to call the Brahmana as lazy intelligent. Lazy intelligent means a Kshatriya works very hard, undoubtedly. But a Brahmana guides a Kshatriya. That is the way he is supposed to work. So, spiritualist is one who honestly does not work very hard, simply to make more money. Why? Because even if you make more and more money, what will you do with that money? It's simply like a honeybee collecting more and more honey. And going on accumulating so much of honey in the honeycomb, and then one not so fine morning, the farmer comes with a torch and drives away all the honeybees and takes that honeycomb and goes away. So the honeybee loses all the honey which he accumulated for so many years. Same way the death, the Yamaraj comes like the farmer coming with the torch and he comes and takes it away. You may say, I have accumulated so much money. And I also have a secret Swiss bank account which no one knows. Can I transfer it to somebody? No. Yamaraj would say, there is no time. Now it's high time. You have to come with me. So, there is no use of accumulating such wealth. Of course, it doesn't mean one should not earn wealth or one should not work hard to earn wealth. We need wealth for our sustenance, for protecting the family members, and give some charity to Krishna, and save something for the future emergency. So that emergency is one of the things that which everyone considers according to their own perspective. Somebody says, yes Prabhuji, what you said is true. My emergency money is 5 crores. Then you will never be able to become Krishna conscious. So once I asked this question to Grihasthas in Jayadeepu's house in a class. How much you think a devotee needs to lead a happy and peaceful life? And when can a devotee take off, retire? A grihastha devotee, when can they retire and completely devote themselves to Krishna consciousness, husband and wife together? So, lot of devotees were raising hands, everyone was saying different things, you know. So, somebody said, you know, their own house and 5 lakhs. Other person said, you know, it's foolish, it's stupid. They were saying, how can somebody with 5 lakhs rent? Ultimately, we came for the highest thing. Highest thing was that you need a own house and you need about 30 to 40 lakhs. Saving, you know. If one has this much, then one can leave everything of the world. Husband and wife can totally devote their time and energy for Krishna consciousness. Somebody said even that is on the higher side. They said 25 lakhs is good enough. Many of them agreed for that. They were raising hand. But why we are talking about it? Because, like if a person drawing 5,000 rupees wants to have a Mercedes Benz, what will you call it? It's greed, isn't it? It's certainly greed. If he is drawing 50,000 or 60,000, if he wants a Mercedes Benz, it makes little sense. But somebody drawing 5,000 wants a Mercedes Benz, it's simply greed. And Kali Yuga Vasis are greedy people. There's generally a lot of greed in the heart. That is why they are foolish in that respect. Because they have the credit card with which they buy everything in the advance, in the beginning only. And for paying it back, they have to work very hard. Because credit card is very easy to buy with credit card. Then you have to lifelong become a slave of the company. So, in such an age, even if one becomes a little interested in spiritual life, the Kali Yuga Vasi is so unfortunate that he comes across such foolish so-called religionists who are cheaters, hypocrites, pretenders, who misguide them in the wrong path. Like for example, although we say India is a Punya Bhumi, it's a sacred land and everything, Indians sometimes face more danger when they want to become religious than the Western people. Why? India is currently faced with two great opposing forces. One is the Mayavadism, all over India. You are God, I am God, everyone is God. I am you, you are me. This philosophy is very much prevalent in India. Everything is God, everyone is God, you can worship any deity you want. There is no problem. Ultimately, yatomat tatopat. Prabhupada used to condemn this very strongly. Whatever path you want to follow, you may follow. Ultimately, all things come to God only. This kind of bogus philosophy is very prevalent even amongst educated people. And another thing is that atheism that is widely spreading because of so-called scientific advancement in India. Indians are becoming too fascinated by the electronic gadgets that are supplied by the scientists, and they are all fond of going to America. Prabhupada called the Indians as necros. Why necros? Because Americans are frustrated now after so many years of struggle for enjoyment, and they are turning to yoga and meditation to India. And Indians are just now freshly going to America, and they are going to dig out the dead corpses and rats from the garbage dump like a necro, which delights in that. Similarly, now they want to try sense gratification. Indians want to try. And in India, what happens? Mother and father, they keep children a little restricted in India. So they want to go to America and enjoy everything free. So they are neocros. You can see that. So in that sense, Indians are in a very unfortunate situation. So in this way, as Kali Yuga proceeds, as Vyasadeva with his transcendental vision has seen these things, and it's predicted and it is happening. Like in Bhagavatam, it is predicted that in Kali Yuga the food will be sold. Is it a very serious thing, food will be sold? You wonder, what is the problem? You know, he is having a hotel and he is selling food and making money. What is the problem? Isn't it? Any Kali Yuga Vasi will ask, isn't it? After all, he is giving food to people and he is taking money. What is the problem? But in Vedic times, it was unheard of that somebody sells food. Selling food is unheard of. Nobody will sell food. Every morning you cook and come out of the house and shout loudly, is there anyone here around who is hungry? And I want to serve you some prasad, please come. Maybe some passers-by will come, you feed them prasad, and then only the devotees are, guests are supposed to eat. That was very common. But in Kali Yuga you find there is practically a hotel in every lane. And food is being sold. What is because of food? Water is being sold. Nowadays you go to some places like Andhra, there are some rivers where they have put a board that nobody should touch this water. They have put electric lines. If you cross that line, you will get shocked. So that rivers are sold by the governments to private parties who use those rivers for making bottling companies, those who make distillery bottles and everything. You can see that. So what a atrocious government you can see. The rivers are natural properties of God. God has created rivers for the welfare of all humans. And that is being utilized by the commercial companies to make bottles and make money. That means to drink water, you have to pay money to the companies and get the bottle of water and drink. You can't drink natural water. Not allowed. And that will happen gradually everywhere. You can see that. So in this way, what Bhagavatam said earlier may appear to be strange, but now we can see those things in front of our eyes. So what is the purpose of talking all these things? That's very important to know. Why should we talk about all the problems that are happening in Kali Yuga? For various reasons we talk about this. One thing is, by hearing these things, our faith in Srimad Bhagavatam will increase. That Bhagavatam predicts precisely what is going to happen in future. And whatever Bhagavatam said millions of years ago, now in front of our eyes we can see those things happening in the lives of people. Dampati, Abhiruchir Hetu, man and woman will marry due to superficial attraction, it says. Vipratve, Sutramevahi. Those who are claiming to be Brahmanas will be wearing sacred thread, 25 paisa thread, claiming to be Brahmins, although they will not have any Brahminical qualities. All these things are said. Prajopadravam. The kings will be creating Prajopadravam, which means they will create Upadrava for the Praja, the politicians. All those things are said. So by reading all these things, our faith in Srimad Bhagavatam will increase. Certainly, by hearing these things, which is very important for us. By developing faith in the sublime message of Bhagavatam, Even in such a Kali Yuga, we can be delivered. See, devotees are not pessimists. To simply talk about the good old days and say that these days have become bad, so what can we do? You know? Sometimes old people do that in villages, you've seen. In our days, you know, gold was like this, you know, silver was like this, and in modern times, what to do? You know, days have changed. And nobody respects elders, and there is no money and all that. So devotees are not such a pessimist. They're simply talking about the good old days. We have to know the problem properly. Only then we will take the solution seriously. That is the reason we talk about all these things. Because in Bhagavatam itself, the solution is given. It says, Kalau dosha nidhe rajan asti ekan mahan guna kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sangha param rajet. It says that Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. But although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, still, even while we are like a boat in that ocean. See, when the boat is going on the ocean, naturally there is a danger that the boat may sink. Isn't it? That in that sense, if you see, the water itself becomes enemy of the boat. Because the water can sink the ship. But know for sure that the water, unless it enters into the ship, it cannot sink the ship. Similarly, unless and until the negativity of Kali Yuga does not enter into our hearts, we will not be sunk in this age. We can very smoothly go like a boat and cross over this ocean of Kali Yuga. How? Asti ekan mahan guna. There is one mahan gun, he says. What is that mahan gun? Kirtanat eva krishnasya, it says. Those who are doing Krishna kirtan, it says, mukta sangha param vrije. In such sangha, such devotees will be liberated and sent back home, back to Godhead. So this is the solution given in Bhagavatam. So, at this moment of time, we are all so fortunate. Actually, I had read this verse once when I got a Tamil copy of Bhagavatam in my 9th standard. So that time, I was reading different things. The Gopi section was very difficult to understand. But then when I came to the section, this verse, it was quoted in the front of the book, the beginning only. So then I thought, I should find out where is this Sangha that is being spoken. It says, Mukta Sangha Param Brajet, it is said. Oh, where is the Sangha of the Krishna Bhaktas? Where I can go and meet them and I can join the Krishna Kirtan. So I went to different places, but I found there was Ayyappa going on, Ayyappa Kirtan going on. So I joined it for some time, 30-40 days. So Shabarimala people. Then I saw there was Kartikeya Kirtan going on. For some time I joined the Kali Kirtan also. Purpose is nothing like Kali Kirtan. Those Kirtans are all fully motivated by material desires. People who worship, nobody worships Kali out of love. Or nobody worships, if somebody worships Kali or Shiva out of love, Kali and Shiva will bring them to Krishna. Love is only for Krishna. So in this way, wandering to different places at last, this verse, the meaning of this verse became realized when I came to the ISKCON society. This is a Sangam of devotees who are chanting the Krishna Kirtan. So, in Bhagavatam, there is a very beautiful verse. There is another verse which says, Kalim Sabhajayanti Arya Saragnya Sarabhaginah. That's the verse. This word is such a beautiful word, Sarabhaginah. He says, Kalim Sabhajayanti Arya. He says, the great souls, they don't curse Kali Yuga, but they glorify Kali Yuga. They say, why? Because of various reasons. They glorify Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, because our life is short, and the performance of spirituality is very easy in Kali Yuga. Why? All we need to do is only Nama Sankirtanam. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Iva Kevalam, Kalau, Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gataranyata. Kalau means in the age of Kali Yuga. What should one do? Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Iva Kevalam. So, this process of chanting, dancing and feasting is such an enjoyable process in the age of Kali Yuga, especially as propagated by Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. In this age, it's such an easy method to follow by anybody. And it is followed for a very short period of time. Just 80 years or 100 years we survive, not even 100 years. If you put a century in your life, then your name will come in Guinness book. So you don't even live 100 years. In such a short. So Kali Yuga is like a crash course. See, the word crash course is very appropriate because, say, you join NIIT, the course which you can do it in 2 years, if they say we will teach you in 6 months, you will certainly see that you have to give more hours of time, correct? If you have to do it for 6 months. And you also have to take it very seriously, otherwise you cannot complete. You need regularity also, correct? If somebody says, I will join the 6 months course and you go 1 day and don't go 4 days, you can't get the benefit. If it is a 2 years course, then it is all right. If you have done little bit, you missed little bit, it is all right. But when it is a crash course, you have to be regular. Regularly doing it, and it's a short time, it is intense dose. Prabhupada says, in those days, Ajamila saw one Shuddha Shudrani embracing. And he became polluted in mind and he fell down. And in Kali Yuga, we are Kali Yuga Vasis, we have to see so many Ajamilas. So many Shudra Shudranis in Kali Yuga, you can see. Embracing educated Shudra Shudranis. Engineer, doctor and all. So you can see that. So this should be the vision of a devotee. As if you see from devotee's point of view, someone will be highly educated. If you want to honestly know what Prabhupada says about engineering, Prabhupada, engineering is Shudra's job, Prabhupada says one place. Why? It is simply blacksmith and goldsmith, what a Shudra does, that's all. But now modern man has given such a sophistication to it. It looks like a Brahmana's job. Or in other words, you can say, one who is capable of doing Brahminical job, Brahminical job, people are all put in activity of what Shudra is supposed to do. Otherwise, simply meddling with matter, simply meddling with iron and steel, it has nothing to do with soul. This is Jada Vidya. Jada Vidya means meddling with material elements. Atma Vidya, Raja Vidya means understanding the science of soul and God, which is alive. The soul is alive, God is alive, and the relationship is ultimate between them. The pure love that exists, that is actually Raja Vidya. That should be studied, not this Jada Vidya, studying dead material elements. So, in Kali Yuga, the crash course is very intense. So if one can safeguard one's consciousness in Kali Yuga by being in the company of Krishna Bhaktas, in Krishna Sangha, such a person is very fortunate, like all of us. So the great souls, they glorify Kali Yuga. I was in Bombay some weeks ago for the Gaur Purnima. So there were some group of Prabhupada disabled sitting. So the first lecture was begun by Shyam Sundar Prabhu. So Shyam Sundar Prabhu began saying that, he said, we are all Kali Yuga Vasis, and he said, in US, in America, we were worse than Jagais and Madais. You can take 100 Jagais Madais put together, he said, we were so bad. He said, in the morning, we would take a plate of pork and fish, and all, he started like that. Then Mahara Ranath Swami took his garland and put it on his neck. So then Shyam Sundar Prabhu said, maybe Maharaj wants me to speak something from Bhagavatam. Not say this impure things, But I am telling you the reality. And he said, how fallen we were. So Lord Nityananda delivered Jagai Madai, but Prabhupada delivered people who are worse than Jagai Madai. So when he was speaking this, he started weeping. At the end, he broke down, and tears are coming from his eyes, torrent of tears. He said, this effect of Kali Yuga is so powerful, it is very difficult for anyone to escape from this. And we were all coming from good families, but we became swayed away by the effects of Kali Yuga like this. And it is only because of Prabhupada's mercy that we could come out of that. And Prabhupada lifted us from such a bottomless pit up to such an elevated stage. So he was glorifying Prabhupada. And Shyam Sundar was talking about the ill effects of Kali Yuga. He was talking. And then the lecture proceeded like this. And towards the end, when it came to Radhanath Swami last, and Radhanath Swami started glorifying Kali Yuga. So he said, what I was telling, Kalim Sabade and Tyadya. Saragya Sarabhagina. So he was glorifying Kali Yuga and said, even the demigods want to be born in this Martiloka in Kali Yuga, because the process of achieving Godhead is very easy in the age of Kali Yuga. Only chanting of the holy names. Simply chant the holy names and you can go back home back to Godhead. And it is a very short period. And Kali Yuga is very intense period where the evil forces are also to the peak. That means it's like, you know, sometimes you test the vehicle to the worst limits, you know. Sometimes they take a bike, you've seen the bike testing companies, you know? They put it in the full torque or something. Sometimes they go up in a mountain, a lot of rocks, you know? Sometimes rocks and stones and people, they drive in all that. Why they do that? To test. Actually, no bike is tested in best conditions. They test it in the worst conditions. So if you test it in the worst condition, then in the best condition or better conditions, it will always be good, you know. You can assume that. So Kali Yuga is a period which is similar to that. It's a very tough time. In what sense? Because actually we may think, oh, it doesn't seem to be so difficult, we may think. But why I am saying it is difficult? Many of us, we are unconscious of our fallen nature. That is our problem. We are unconscious of how we are lending our hearts to the Kali Yuga evil forces. We are not aware. And we are thinking, I am wonderful. What we are thinking is, physically if I don't fall down, I am all right. We think like that. Physically we have not fallen down. Mentally we have fallen down a million times in this age. Again and again. So, to be a pure devotee, one should even avoid the mental fall down also. So we are lending our hearts to so many evil forces of Kali Yuga. So if you can successfully withdraw your consciousness from that and focus it on Krishna, then only you can be considered successful, which is not an easy job. It's a very great challenge. So, you know, somebody may be fighting with bow and arrow, sending, you know, one arrow can only hit one person. Or somebody takes even a gun. The gun can travel a little farther distance and shoot a person and knock him down, isn't it? Or if you take a machine gun can shoot 15, 20 people in a row. You just shoot. In a row, you can shoot 15, 20 people. But this Harinam, the holy name, is like a shower of bombs. Imagine you, somebody goes in the top of a helicopter and showers bomb on a big army. Just pours like a rainfall. The whole army is knocked off. Similarly, this army can be compared to the Kali Yuga forces. All of us are in a sort of a war against Maya. We have declared a war against Maya. So in our side, who are all there? All the bhaktas, devotees are there. There are some senior devotees who are like, you know, sitting on elephants. Junior devotees are sitting on horses. Others who are going to join, they are foot soldiers. Yeah? It's like that. And then there are some, you know, sannyasis, they are like sitting in rath, chariots. And there are gurus who are like maharathis. Yeah. And many of them all are waging a war against whom? Against Maya. So they are waging a war, and then Maya is also throwing different kinds of weapons. So we have to be very, very alert, which weapon is coming from where, you know. You have to be very, if you are not alert, what will happen? Yeah. And if a weapon is coming here and you are watching and smiling somewhere, it will be knocked. Isn't it? So we have to be very, very alert in this age. And in that war, you will find there are people knocked off also from our side. Like somebody is a devotee advancing, he falls down, gets wounded. So if he is wounded, then he has to be taken to the tent, you know. He has to be taken to the hospital and, you know, treatment has to be given. Some people fall down also, we can see that. Sometimes even Maharathis, big people may fall down. So we can see that. So, but we have to derive inspiration from those who are going ahead very nicely. So on the opposite side, Maya is fighting. And this holy name, what is it like? If you become empowered by the holy name, you become like a bomber pilot. You go to the top in to the opposite army, and from the top you shower bomb. It's like a shower. You can practically finish off Maya's army very, very easily by showering the bombs of the holy name. And Prabhupada did that. Prabhupada says in one place to his devotees. And devotees asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, how did you, you know, spread this movement all over the world? Prabhupada smiled and said, Prabhupada said, this holy name is like a cannon. Prabhupada said, take it to the marketplace. Drop these bombs through a cannon in the marketplace and you will see all Maya will be destroyed. So Prabhupada took the weapon of the holy name and he said, I am called as Bhaktivedanta. I don't have Bhakti, I don't have Vedanta, but I have firm faith in the holy name, Prabhupada said. So Prabhupada took this weapon and just see, he went to America and from there he began, and you can see all over the world with the weapon of the holy name, he has pervaded the whole world, globe, you can see today. So that is our first and foremost weapon for our ISKCON society, the holy name. So by taking very firm shelter of this holy name, we can wear the kavach of the holy name in this age of Kali Yuga. And we can walk scot-free everywhere, all over the globe, without getting affected, if we have the protection of the holy name in our hearts. But without the holy name, if we practice spiritual life superficially, then we will not be saved, we will not be protected. So the deficiencies of Kali Yuga are explained, and this is not to discourage us, but to warn us. Like we say, you know, we should have healthy fear, which is very important. We should not have unhealthy fear, but healthy fear is essential. By hearing about all these things, we should develop a healthy fear. We should not be thinking, it doesn't seem to be so bad. Kali Yuga doesn't seem to be so bad. We don't know so much. If you go out, you'll come to see. But then we are going after preaching, and we also get affected by Kali Yuga forces. We have to be very cautious. We are all like in an oasis here, in the temple. Congregation, brahmacharis all coming together, intensifying our Krishna consciousness. So this fire of the Sankirtan movement is protecting us. So without this fire of Sankirtan movement, we would simply be swayed by the current of Maya. So let's pray that we develop a very firm attachment for chanting the holy name and spreading the holy name and the holy vibration of Srila Prabhupada's books, so that we can envelop as many possible living beings who are suffering in this world on our way back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam.